הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to the Judge Eve show, and the song is Let's Be Happy and Sing, and that was in Hebrew, an attempt by me to sing. I'm so honored today to have Pastor Daniel Nalia from the Catch the Fire Apostolic Center in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia. He's an amazing, amazing, pure-hearted minister. I'm almost crying from knowing his story. And God has used him as well to do spiritual warfare, especially against Islam. And I'm going to have him tell us what he's done. I have some questions to him, and then I'm going to have him tell us what's important for him to talk about. He has a book called Worship Under the Sword, because he lived in Saudi Arabia for a couple of years. And he has a DVD in which miracles are cited, including raising the dead. God bless you, Pastor Danny. Welcome to
Thank
the show.
Thank you. It's good to be on your program.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure and a blessing for me. I want to tell people, studying a little bit about Australia, apparently it only has 7 states. Melbourne is in Victoria, and geographically speaking, if we can picture Florida without the tail, that's sort of similar to what Victoria looks like. And I see Victoria is in what's called Port Phillip Bay and the Yarra River. And you know, I was I checked the distance between Melbourne and the Antarctica. It is about 3,861 miles. Is that what you understand?
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm a researcher. What can I tell you? So you don't get cold weather from Antarctica? That's what surprised me.
Yep. Well, as you know, I am currently right now in Ohio, USA.
Yes.
So I've sort of cheated the winter, and I'm in the summer weather, which is really fantastic. And just last month, I spent about 10 days in Israel and also some time in Asia. So I've been out for a few months, couple of months now with my wife and children.
That's
so we are in Ohio, and we head back next week back to Melbourne.
But what a smart thing to do, to get away in wintertime, right? So you don't suffer it.
Actually, our winters are quite mild compared to the Canadian winters or the U.S. some parts of the U.S.
Yes.
We don't get snowfall and so on. So we are somewhat, you know, privileged and blessed to have that sort of weather, which is really good. We enjoy the weather in Melbourne, and we love Australia with all our heart.
And you know something else which I didn't know? Do you know that Melbourne was rated as the number one city in the world in which to live? Did you know that?
It is for the fourth time.
Fourth time, I know. Because
that's correct. It's the most livable city in the world. And I think it's supposed to be also the most cosmopolitan capital of the world right now, where people from many nations have called Australia home, live in this land.
Wow.
And by the way, we have 6 states and 2 territories. So in total, we have 8 states in all.
Okay.
That's right. Tasmania is a part of Australia.
That's what I was going to ask you. I thought they showed it as part of Victoria. You know, I just looked at the map. I didn't read the whole thing. But tell us, please, you were born in Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka, which used to be Ceylon, right?
That's correct.
So
That's
you
correct.
Weren't exactly in a Christian environment, were you?
No, I was not. Although my great-great-grandparents were Hindu, and when the British, we were under the British occupation for 150 years, and I thank God for the British coming into Sri Lanka, because my great-grandparents came to the faith of Jesus in that during that occupation.
Wow.
And
you
I grew up in a family which my dad was an alcoholic and my mom never went to church. So I tell people, just because you go to McDonald's, it does not make you a Big Mac.
these are
born
books.
To a Christian, born in a Christian family does not make you a Christian.
Isn't
so
that
we just went through the motions of, you know, going to church and coming back, but there was no real faith. Yes. Until I came into an encounter. My mom is the one who first got saved, and then she prayed all of us into salvation.
How many brothers and sisters do you have, Pastor Danny?
I had two brothers and one sister, and one of my brothers got drowned 1 week after he got born again, so he's going to be with the Lord.
So has
my dad gone to be with the Lord. He died a believer in the Lord. Also,
Praise.
3 months before he died, he got born again.
Praise
so
God.
I have a brother, sister, and a mom. My mom live in Sri Lanka still.
Wow. By the way, you know, part of your story, and what I'd like to do is I feel, you know, you've done so much. I wanted to tell you, Pastor Danny has fought the Muslims and won and fought so many other things, and he now is in charge of the party called Rise Up Australia, which is a prayer group and party to try and bring Australia back to its Judeo-Christian roots, which is what we need here in America. So what I would like to do is I'd like to, people to hear, to get to know you a little bit better. Then I have some questions, and then I'm going to ask you what is most important for you to carry forth. Let me add again, your book is Worship Under the Sword, and how can they get your book? Tell us your contact information.
Okay, our website is www.catchthefire.com.au. That's catchthefire.com.au. And then if you go into the product section, you can buy all the products, all the teaching materials, the DVDs, also the documentary on 10 mighty healings which took place in Australia, including the raising of a dead woman. By God's grace, I had the opportunity of raising her from the dead.
Wow.
Doctor's evidence, medical reports, all provided in the DVD. Also, my book, Worship Under the Sword, speaks about our life story of how the Lord saved me twice from execution, once in Sri Lanka and then in Saudi Arabia when I was working underground with the church.
Wow.
The book also speaks of the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the crippled walk, the dead raised. And also the book speaks of how the Lord saved my wife from possible rape and murder in Saudi Arabia and how the Lord saved my children from being taken into an Islamic orphanage. So the book is an action-packed book. If people read the book, they would not put it down. We have sold 15,000 copies, I think, of the book so far.
But
you can order the book on our website, and our office will mail it across to you.
Let me say something that the Lord gave me to give to you this morning. Your church is going to quadruple in size, and then I asked God
Amen.
By when. I asked God by when, and I'm not sure, but I think he said by the end of this year. So we're now in August, so let's see.
Amen.
I mean, a growth. May I ask you how many members do you have in your church now? It's quite large, right?
Now, it's like this. Catch the Fire Ministries is the ministry, which is the umbrella ministry that was founded in 1998 in Australia. By God's grace, he led me to start this ministry.
Yes.
Our number one focus has been for the last 13 years is prayer, because the Word of God says, my house shall be a house of prayer to all nations.
Yes.
So we have been establishing prayer gatherings. So we have about 80 to 100 prayer meetings across the country every month.
Wow.
And these prayer meetings are prayer meetings. We cry out to the Lord for the nation's transformation.
Yes.
And then the church really birthed only very recently because we were really focusing on a national. See, very often we as pastors want to build our own empire.
Right.
We don't think of a nation's transformation. Yes. And I was really, the Lord spoke to me about a nation coming back to him.
Yes.
And he said the way the nation is going to come back is you'll have to stop thinking your empire. You'll have to start thinking my kingdom. And I started thinking, yes, Lord, what can I do for your kingdom?
Yes.
And he said, go across the nation day and night and call the people to repent and pray.
Yes.
So that's what I did for the last 11 years, the 12 years.
So you were like an evangelist, in other words. You weren't
that's
in
right,
a located
so,
church. When did you actually start? When did you actually start the church then that you have now in Melbourne? Let me see if I got the address right. 23, I couldn't make out the words. Melbourne Drive? Helen?
Okay, the church is started about 2 years ago, and the address is number 23, Melverton Drive, M-E-L-V-E-R-T-O-N, Melverton Drive, Helen, which is in the southeastern suburbs of the city of Melbourne, about half an hour's driving time from the city of Melbourne.
Okay.
And so we meet on a Sunday morning at 9:30 and a Sunday night at 6:30.
And how many people
and so,
do you have?
So now we have about 28 nationalities who worship the Lord with us in the church.
Wow.
And we get about 200 people worshiping at this point of time. But we also live broadcast our services, and a few thousand people are online who watch the webcast.
Wow.
But we have a network of more than 10,000 people nationally across the country. And then, of course, internationally, there's many more. God, we just thank the Lord. We are on the road to a national reformation.
Yes.
to see Australia come back to Jesus.
And you do it, and we'll do it here too. It's almost like you're the torchbearer. That's what God was showing me. Because you know how Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people turn from their wicked
ways. That's correct.
And pray,
well,
right?
Well, that's the exact verse the Lord gave me in 2000 in Ethiopia, 9th April, 2000, at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's the verse the Lord gave me. He said, if you call my people to repent. And he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn away from their wicked ways and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal the land.
Amen.
So that's when we started the prayer movement.
Isn't that wonderful? Forgive me. You know, I'm just so touched. You know, you're so pure-hearted. You know, there's been such apostasy in the church. It's like when I watched the opening ceremony for the Olympics, I got sick to my stomach. You know, it was so demonic, you know, and I just couldn't take it. And it's like Satan, I'm a spiritual warrior, which you are too, you know. And we have to come against those spirits. We have to help cleanse the church, help to bring Jesus back on the scene, you know. So thank you for what you're already doing. But let me ask
Mr. Daniel, I think one of the biggest failures which is taking place in the church is the church has come to a false sense of user-friendly, seeker-friendly, a lovey-lovey attitude, forgetting the fact that we serve a loving Jesus, but he's also justice and righteousness.
Exactly.
When he walked into the temple and he saw the Father's house being made a mess, he did not hug them and kiss them. He actually took a whip, and the Word of God says he drove them out.
Yes.
Now, what do you do with the whip? You drive the sheep out of the place. You whip the sheep.
Yes.
So he says drove them out. That means he whipped them literally, and he turned the tables.
You know
and
what,
I think it's time that we really stand up and tell the church, you get up and do something, because the nation is looking for answers and they need to find it through the children of God.
Exactly.
And if the children of God do not give the nation the needed responses, they're going to go into all the different places.
Yes.
And so, no question, we'll see the unrighteousness rise up. And then what we as Christians do is we grumble against the government.
And do nothing, right?
And do nothing. And I think it's President Kennedy who said, stop thinking of what your country can do for you. Start thinking of what you can do for your country.
Your country.
And that's why we are.
Yes.
And that's where we come from. We are just absolutely convinced that it's time for us to stop thinking of what the government can do for us. It's time for us to see what we can do for our country.
We are to possess the land. And I told you my story, but just to say a little bit of it, you know, how God told me we cannot be namby-pamby Christians anymore. And that's exactly what you're talking about. We have to have the spine. And, you know, being Israeli, and, you know, excuse me, I would like to hear how you felt about Israel. You know, I was born in Jerusalem. In fact, when I was about 7 years old, I was there during the British rule, you know, so we come from similar backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran up and down. There was an amphitheater on the Mount of Olives, you know, where Jesus is going to come back. And I ran up and down those steps, up and down those steps. I had no idea. You know, never heard of Jesus at the time.
Mm.
So that is so funny. Also, when I was about 3 years old, my parents were from Poland. You know, they were lucky to leave, you know, before the Holocaust there. And my father repeatedly said to me, don't ever forget you were born in the city most important to the three main religions in the world, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And I told you, you know, I was raised with the Arabs. My mother tells me when I was about a year and a half old, I was very blonde, and she curled my hair and dressed me nicely. And I got out of my carriage and went for a walk in Jerusalem. So she thought, oh, my God, I'll never see her again. And she said, An Arab brought me back on a camel. I have no recollection of that at all.
Okay.
But what I wanted to ask you, Pastor Danny, what, you know, you mentioned you went to Saudi Arabia. I wanted to know, because you never made it clear as to why. Not just, did you just go there to work with the underground church, or did you have another job to go from Sri Lanka to Saudi?
Well, to be frank with you, I never expected to go to Saudi Arabia, because I don't think anyone who has a brain will want to go to Saudi Arabia to be a missionary. In the natural, I'm talking about, okay?
Of course.
Because Christian worship is a criminal offense. And if you get caught worshiping Jesus, you get 70 lashes. And if you talk to a Muslim and try to convert a Muslim for apostasy, you get you can be beheaded or go in for 20 years in jail.
Wow.
And so I'm the type of guy who can't stop talking about Jesus. And I knew that if I go to Saudi Arabia, I'm going to be minus my head very quickly, and my wife and children will be missing me very much, you know.
Yeah. I love you.
So what I did was, of course, my boss actually offered me this transfer from my company.
What
I was working
for it. What
I was working
doing?
For an American company based in Sri Lanka, and they were doing shipping containers.
Oh.
It's known as American President Lines, one of the main shipping cargo carrying companies for American government.
Wow.
And so the American boss that I had, the guy came up to me and he said, I want to give you a job in Saudi Arabia. And I said, oh,
yes.
Thank you, but no, thank you. I don't think I'll take the job. And the guy goes, oh, well, you get five times your salary what you're getting right now, and there won't be a tax. Now, that seemed very tempting.
Yes.
However, for me, it was without Jesus. And if I can't talk about Jesus, then
yes.
It's useless my going.
Exactly.
But when I went home and prayed, the Lord very clearly spoke to me and my wife, and he said this, do you believe that I can use you anywhere in the world?
Yes.
And, of course, I responded something like, yes, anywhere but Saudi Arabia. And the next
we
thing
got
was,
our
of
own
course,
plans, and God has His own plans, right? Yeah.
Well,
go
to
ahead.
Cut a long story short, I ended up in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Never ever thought of what was going to happen. Within the first week of my going there, I was already underground with the church.
Wow.
And
you
there
know,
on was
know,
the rest. And then the rest is history.
I was going to say, you hear about underground churches in China. I never knew that they had underground churches in Saudi Arabia. I'm just so touched, you know? So a lot of, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, how did you become to be in touch with the underground churches there? And talk about the Bibles, you know, and what happened to you in that regard.
Yeah, well, what is interesting is I didn't know any underground church, but the day before I left from Sri Lanka to go into Saudi Arabia,
yes.
a guy happened to come back from Saudi Arabia on vacation, and he happened to tell me that he was worshiping in an underground church.
Wow.
Because people who go to the nation normally takes them a long while before they could find a church, because people do not normally expose themselves because it's too dangerous.
Exactly.
So with God's grace, because this guy gave me a letter, I was able to take the letter and go and meet the underground church leaders, and they let me come in because they will see if a person dobs you in to the Saudi government that there's a Christian worshiper, the person could get up to $6,000 as a reward.
Wow. Wow.
And then the
people
who worship
in.
Can be,
wow.
That's correct, you know.
Yes.
So I just thank the Lord. The Lord had already planned it out, even though I didn't know all the pieces of the puzzle.
Yep.
Within 1 week, I was underground, and within a few months, we were very heavily involved with the church underground, you know. So praise God.
You see why I call God the master setup? People think to have free will, you know. And I always say, you know, that like if you have a country road, you know, with a solid yellow line in the middle and two white lines on the edges, he lets us deviate from that center only as far as that white line. And then he makes circumstances to bring us right back to center.
True.
You know, and
true.
You know, persist in not doing what he wants us to do. Boy, does he have a way of getting us back. Remember Jonah and the whale, right?
That's right. And in fact, interestingly enough, I'm currently in Ohio with my friends from the U.S.
Yes.
And my friend Richard and his wife Marlene were also underground with us. We were all working together for the Lord in the church Saudi. So they're here in Ohio, and so we're just catching up after a few years. We're just catching up as families to just reunite, reflect on what happened, and just thank the Lord for all His blessings, the way He has kept us alive and kept us still going for Jesus.
You know what I would like you to talk about is the night that they came to search your house for Bibles, because you know what I got from your story, not just the miracle of it, but how we have to turn to Jesus. Things are going to get very bad here, too, in the United States. God has spoken to me.
I think one of the things which is happening is the church today, unfortunately, is become so predictable.
Yes.
For example, a Muslim will go to the mosque.
Right.
A Hindu will go to the koil. The Buddhist goes to the temple. The Jewish people go to the synagogue. Christians go to the church.
Yes.
Or every place of worship, you can predict what's going to happen. And if you can predict what's going to happen, you have become religious.
Yes.
But what we see lacking in the church is the supernatural aspect of the unpredictable.
Exactly.
The blind person coming in and receiving sight. Like, for example, just last Sunday night, I was in Toronto preaching in a church, and the pastor's wife was 100% deaf in her left ear.
Yes.
And people could check this testimony on YouTube as well as on our Catch the Fire website.
Yes.
She came up for prayer. And she had tried doctors. She had gone to America, come to America, specialist has checked out, Canadian specialist have checked her out. And ultimate report was, we cannot operate. The ear is gone. You will never hear from that left ear. Well, Sunday night, just last Sunday night, in front of all the people as I prayed, instantly the ear was opened and the lady could have started hearing.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is what I'm talking about.
See, you have a miracle ministry. You know, so many words you say, as you say them, I'm thinking this should be a topic or a name for a book, you know?
Amen.
Write those down, because they really, you have to either get it all on, I don't know the technicalities today, CDs, DVDs or whatever, you've got to have them distributed all over the world, because what I was going to say, God has shown me 40 years ago now that we're going to have concentration camps in America. And my mother's friends who were in Germany, you know, in concentration camp, you know, they told me 15 years ago, we're seeing in America now exactly what we saw in Nazi Germany before we were taken to the camp. And then I started getting literature from other people, you know, how former military bases are being made into camps, and on and on and on it goes. So when we have nowhere else to turn, people will have to turn to Jesus. And like you say, we can have the healings, right? We can have protection. And congratulations to Jesus and to you for praying for that lady. That just touches me so much. Because always being... go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, see, this is the important thing. The lady who came to church came expecting a miracle, which was the unpredictable in the natural.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Pastor Danny. Hello?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Better, yes. Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, the lady who came to church, when she came, she possibly was not 100% sure whether she's going to be healed or not.
Yes.
But when she went back home, she went completely healed with her deaf ear open. Now, that's what people need to hear and know. When people see those miracles, they can't help but they cannot deny the name of Jesus, because it is very clear that Jesus has done the supernatural.
Exactly.
So now, in Saudi Arabia, you asked me about the Bible story, and I'll tell you what happened.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Pastor Danny. You were so clear before, and now it's like you're a little further away. Are you on a speakerphone or something?
Are you okay now?
A little better. Did you go on a speakerphone? Is that what the difference is?
Yeah. I was trying to go on a speakerphone, but I can hear you now. Can you hear me clearly?
Much better. Yes. Thank you.
Sorry. So that's okay. No problem. Sorry about that. And so what happened in Saudi Arabia was that I was offered 1,800 Bibles in 13 languages once in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And it was offered to me by an American brother who was working undercover there.
Yes.
And I thank God for people like President Bush Jr. and President Bush Sr., because most people, they don't understand this. And that is, during the Bush administration, many Bibles were sent as diplomatic cargo, and they are not normally checked.
Right.
And thus we were able to collect these Bibles. But under the Obama administration, a container load of Bibles, which was sent to Afghanistan by U.S. troops, was ordered by the president himself. President Obama ordered that those containers of Bibles to be burnt.
Unbelievable.
He's a Muslim.
I know. Gosh.
And while I don't endorse people provoking other religions, such as burning the Quran, I don't endorse that.
Of course.
However, the pastor by the name of Terry Jones, I think the guy in the U.S. who was trying to burn the Quran, even though I don't endorse that, I must say this. President Obama said that Terry Jones should not do that, because a holy book of another religion should be respected and not burned.
Exactly.
While he himself ordering the burning of 2 20-foot container loads of Bibles in Afghanistan.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And see, I sued Obama. You know, you don't know my situation, because he's a fascist. The way I was treated by the White House, he's a fascist. And he was born in...
So anyway, without getting in there... let's get back to the Saudi Arabian story.
Yes, please.
And so when the Bible started coming, and we were very excited, but I all along knew the punishment will be if I get raided at my house and have Bibles at home, and the Saudi Secret Service, namely Mutawa, which is the secret service of the Saudi Religious Police, if they come into the house and see the Bibles, I will go in for 20 years in jail, possible execution.
Wow.
My wife will be considered an infidel, and the possibility of her being raped and killed. My children being taken and thrown in an Islamic orphanage was all possibilities very much within the laws of the Sharia courts in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And so we were distributing the Bibles. We were getting 1,800 Bibles in 13 languages once in 3 weeks. And I used to pack them up into eight packs. And then the people used, my other church, underground church members used to come and collect it.
Let me ask.
But one day we, yeah.
Why 13 languages? Isn't that only Arabic in Saudi Arabia? Why did you have the other
languages? We get a lot of people from many countries who live and work in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I see.
And so, for example, you get Urdu, Telugu, Tamil, Sinhalese, Tagalog, English,
wow.
Arabic, Farsi, and so on
French,
and so forth.
Maybe French, Spanish even.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Yeah, so people. So what happens is also a lot of expatriate workers get saved in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
So they too need Bibles, you know. So what happened was one night, suddenly I had a massive bang on my door. On this particular day, I had 400 Bibles sitting on my lounge room table.
Oh,
and I ran to my front door, and I looked through the spy hole, and I don't think anyone wants to see what I saw. What I saw was 20 Saudi Secret Service policemen, namely Mutawas.
Wow.
Eight of them at least were carrying automatic rifles, T-56 machine guns.
Wow.
And the commander was banging my door, and I froze behind my door because I knew I had to open my door. And when I opened my door, they'll have evidence to nail me as a Bible smuggler because I had 400 Bibles in my house, in the lounge room.
Right.
And then also my wife and children were in the house, which means my wife could be possibly raped and killed.
Oh.
And so so what happened was when fear gripped my heart, all these crazy things started going through my mind. The devil was trying to bombard my mind saying, this is the end of you. You'll never see your family again. They'll rape and kill your wife, and then they'll take your children and throw them in an Islamic orphanage.
Yes.
Now, I am game to lay my life down for Jesus. But however, what concerned me was my family. When I thought of them going through what they might have to go through, I was breaking into 1,000 pieces.
Oh.
So what I did was I fell behind the door and I cried out to the Lord, Jesus, where are you? At that point, I heard the voice of the Lord. The word of God says, my sheep hear my voice. No one can snatch them out of my hands.
Amen.
And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 1,000 on your side shall fall. 10,000 on your right shall fall. Nothing shall touch you. My blood is on your doorpost. No one who is not authorized can enter your home.
Amen.
Now open the door, stand across the doorway, and rebuke and command the demons to leave. This battle is not flesh and blood, it's principalities and powers of darkness.
Yep.
So I said, yes, Lord. I jumped off the floor, ran into the bedroom, hugged my wife and children who was now crying and they were very worried. I kissed them.
Oh.
And of course, one side of me was saying, will I ever see them again? Maybe I will see them in heaven.
Yes.
So I sort of kissed them goodbye, but also I kissed them saying, don't worry, Jesus will come through. I let them continue to pray. I ran back to the front door and I said, Lord, into your hands I commit my life.
Yes.
And I opened the door. Now, as I opened the door, I have been in ministry for some time, and I know when I cast out demons out of people, I look into the eyes of the people to rebuke the enemy because the eyes are a doorway.
Right.
I looked in the eyes of the commander and I started rebuking the devils without or not audibly. But within me, I started saying, under my breath, I started saying, in the name of Jesus, how dare you, Satan, you come to my house. You have no right to enter my home. You cannot step into my house. Get out now in Jesus' name. Now, what was interesting, Judge Eve, is that for 30 seconds, there was not a word spoken. 60 seconds, not a word spoken. 90 seconds, not a word spoken. Now, 90 seconds, when you're facing 8 machine guns, 20 soldiers, and your Bibles are evidence to be taken in and be beheaded possibly.
Yes.
It's a very, very long time.
Oh, yes.
And the Holy Spirit whispered to me at that point, I have confused the enemy, and the enemy cannot remember why he has come to your house. Now, I was so excited at that point. I was so excited.
Yes.
Just then the guy shouted out, Habibi Ikama. And that means, mate, give me your identification.
Yes.
Then he looked at me, and he looked at the platoon. He kept doing this about 6 to 8 times. The rest of the group of soldiers, they could not enter the house until the commander gave them permission.
Yes.
But as he finished 6 or 8 times, by this time I realized the Lord had confused the man who had to be confused.
Amen.
He then literally,
yes.
He then gave me the identification back, and he said, Shukran Habibi, meaning thank you, mate. And then I said, Afrin Habibi, meaning don't mention, mate, and I put it in my pocket. The guy then turned around and he shouted to the unit, Habibi, yes. Yalla. And he said, mate, go. And I thank the Lord, when the 20th yes. soldier left my house yes. without entering my home, yes. All what stood there was the door which was open and me in the middle, and the
wow.
presence of the Lord blocked them from coming in.
Wow.
I shut the door, I fell behind the door, lifted my hands to heaven and yes. shouted out to Jesus, as long as I have breath,
yes.
I'll fight for your kingdom's extension, even if I had to lay my life down.
Amen.
And I think this is what is needed.
Yes.
When David killed
yes.
the lion, he
yes.
killed the bear.
Right.
He was not looking for a dog. He was not looking for a cat. His faith was so high that he said,
yes.
I'll get Goliath.
Exactly.
Now, if you took Goliath, if you took David to a normal courtroom,
yes.
common sense and logic, at once,
yes.
within 5 minutes, the judge would have found David unfit to fight Goliath.
Probably.
But common sense and logic does not work in the kingdom of God.
Well,
it is
things.
The unexpected.
You know,
the most
says,
unexpected. And so David, what happens? Yeah,
yes,
so David, what happens is David,
yes.
Sorry, David basically ultimately goes and fights Goliath and he wins.
Exactly.
So the, with God, you cannot yes. predict what's going to happen in a sense, because the unpredictable is able to be done by the Lord. So I am challenging people,
yes.
be supernaturally natural.
Yes. And let me tell you two things. You know how God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts
yes.
are not your thoughts. And he has
yes.
a much better vantage point than we do. He sees the end from the beginning. You know, like
yes.
the little ants on the ground, they think they know everything. We're at 5 to 6 feet above them, so we see way
yes.
more than what they see. So I often
yeah.
say to God, okay, what are we doing here? Show me your ways. Show me your thoughts. Secondly, he told us, fear not, right? That's one of the words that Jesus repeats over and over again. And
yeah.
he said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound
yeah.
mind. And I think
yeah.
what you're saying, too, and you've lived it. You know, God lets us live his word. That's what he's done
yeah.
with me, too. We just don't read words. We live them. And he's teaching
yeah.
us that where there's nowhere else to go, we can only turn to him, and he will take care of the situation. And that's
definitely.
What he let you experience. And that helped you when you later had this litigation in Australia with the Muslims, right? You know, maybe
that's
you want
correct.
To bring... Yeah. So what happened? They didn't like you talking about Jesus? Was that the problem?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. When I left Saudi Arabia, when the Lord,
yeah.
I had an amazing encounter. On 21st
yes.
July 1997 at 3:40 in the morning,
yes.
I had an absolutely shocking glow of light fall into my lounge room.
Wow.
And when I walked in there, I saw a man standing in the figure of a person, a glow of light shining bright in my lounge room.
Yes.
And I knew that I was meeting with an angel or with Jesus. Of course, I was not sure who it was, but I could have
yes.
felt the awesome presence of God.
Yes.
I fell on my knees and started shaking. And at that point, I heard footsteps walking towards me.
Yes.
And the next thing I heard the words, my son, I want to talk to you.
Wow.
Now, at that point, I realized that Jesus, an angel
Jesus.
Cannot call me my son.
Exactly.
It had to be Jesus. So I, at that point, I knew I was meeting with Jesus.
Yes.
Now, the rest is history, because when I met with Jesus, he spoke to me with his audible voice for 2 hours
yes.
and 20 minutes from the glow of light.
Wow.
And
do
from
you
the place where
all?
The face...
Do you remember?
I can remember almost every single thing which took place, because
and,
I must tell you, 2 hours and 20 minutes seemed to pass by like in 5 minutes.
Exactly, yes.
It's amazing when you're in the presence of the Lord, you don't feel the time going. It just
no
goes
time.
So quickly.
In him,
so the
there's
first
no
thing
time.
He,
yes.
True, and the first thing he told me was, he
yes.
said, your time in Australia, in, your time in Saudi Arabia is over.
Wow.
I'm about to do a work in Australia. I need you in that nation. I'm
wow.
taking you to Australia.
And
I responded
you...
to the Lord.
Yes.
I responded to the Lord, how can I leave this work in Saudi Arabia? You're calling me. And 3 days prior to this is when
yes.
we have had 500 underground church leaders were brought together to worship the Lord 40 minutes from Mecca.
Wow.
And my friend seated here,
wow.
Richard, who is sitting right next to me now, was in that
yes.
meeting with us.
Yes.
And so 500 of us worshiped the Lord, which is history-making in Saudi Arabia. You never heard of anything like that.
Exactly.
So I responded to the Lord and saying, how can I leave this work in this place and go? And
yes.
the response I got from the Lord was, who is doing the work in this land, you or me?
I love it. Isn't that his way? You know, we think, we tell the potter, right, how to shape us, right?
Yeah.
I love it. But, you know, he does say, come, let us reason together. And I use that against him all the time, you know. I mean, you say
and, of
that.
Course, then from there on was I continued that conversation, carried on for 2 hours and 20 minutes. And the Lord said, you're going to Australia, but before, when you go there, I'm going to on behalf of the persecuted Christians in Saudi Arabia. I will take you to the U.S. government, and through you, I will help you pass legislation in the U.S. government to protect
in
the Christians.
In the U.S. or in Australia?
In the U.S. No, in
the
U.S.
U.S.? In
That's
America?
Correct.
That's why we're connected. Wow. No kidding. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
You know we're connected, don't you? Oh, my God.
Amen. Yes. Amen. I can sense that so very well, that America and Australia have to play a major role in the end time outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
You like
we
the
got
forerunner.
To work together.
You're the forerunner.
Amen.
And what
Amen.
You do there is what will, because, you know, people are going to, they think we have a hard time now. They have no idea what a hard time we're coming to.
Oh, true. So what happened was, within 1 year, as according to the Lord's word, I had a lot of low self-esteem, Judge Eve. I had a very low self-esteem because my dad was an alcoholic. I never thought I could speak to a Western audience. So I responded to the Lord and I said, Lord, the people in America will never listen to my voice because who am I? How can I speak to them?
Moses.
And he said, son,
Remember
I'm
Moses?
Only, yes. and he said, son,
the
I'm only after your... Mm-hmm. I'm only after your availability, not after your ability.
Oh, you've got
and
to write
cut a long
the
story
book.
Short. yes.
Forgive me, because and when these things come, if I don't say them, I forget them. So please forgive me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so what happens is, within 1 year, God supernaturally opens door after door after door.
Wow.
And Senator Arlen Specter, Senator Brownback, Congressman Frank Wolf, and then an organization called Hudson Institute based in Washington, D.C., and a guy called Michael Horowitz helped us write together a legislation which we were successful in passing in Congress in November 1998. Yes.
Regarding what? Do you remember what it was about?
The bill is called Freedom from Religious Persecution Bill.
Oh, my God.
And what it said was...
I've been persecuted for my religious belief here in the U.S.
Okay. Okay. Well, what it said was... Any minority religion in a majority religious country should be given their basic rights to worship their God, and nothing should stop them.
Really?
You know? So we praise God. We passed the bill. So I'll roll the tape forward because we don't have much time. But thank God. Then it was my mandate to see Australia come back to the Lord. And I thank the Lord. In the last 1.5 years, the Lord has embarked us on an amazing, amazing journey of launching a brand new political party.
The
political party name is called Rise Up Australia Party.
Amen.
And our party slogan is Keep Australia Australian,
love
which
it.
Is an amazing slogan.
Yes.
And it's become a major voice in the country because people are beginning to really, really appreciate what we stand for.
Are you
and
planning
so we,
to run for office? Do you think he's destined
I
to
will
do
be
that?
Running. I will be running as a number one Senate candidate for the state of Victoria in the 2013 federal elections.
I'm going to pray for you.
That's
You're
correct.
Going to make it.
Thank
but
you.
You've got to have
Thank
the church
you.
Quadrupled first.
Amen. Amen.
So let me pray for you for a moment, if I may. May I do that? Because it's important.
Yes.
Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. I know this brother, Pastor Danny, has heard from you. We speak favor upon him, first senator and then president of this country. In Jesus' mighty name, we bind you, hindering spirit from interfering. We enter your council room, Satan, whatever you've meant for harm, God has used and will use for good, and no weapon formed against Pastor Danny, his family, or anyone else involved with him will prosper in Jesus' mighty name. And I plead the blood of Jesus over all of you in Jesus' name, and let it carry forth to America in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what we did was we launched the party. We have launched the party, and we're officially, you know, all ready to contest the election.
Yes.
And one of the party policies is we are against multiculturalism.
Yes, I like what you said about that. Yes, please.
Yeah, so what is interesting is people need to understand there was one word which became a gateway for the killing of 10 million people, mostly people who were Jews. And that word is called Nazism.
Yes.
Now, Nazism became a gateway when some people opposed it, some people laughed and thought Hitler was off his head, and others
yes.
supported him. And many kept quiet. Now, I want to tell
yes.
you this.
Yes.
People who keep quiet are equally to be blamed for the disaster
yes.
because if you don't do something about what you know,
yes.
then you are actually betraying your sons and daughters.
Yes.
Now, so multiculturalism is a disastrous word because I'll tell you also communist philosophy, communism and Stalin,
yes.
one word became a doorway to see the slaughter of 75 million plus people.
Yes.
Now we have the newest word is called multiculturalism.
Yes.
Now, Islam
mm-hmm.
finds itself very, very comfortable in multiculturalism because Islam
yes.
is culture, religion and law.
Right.
Now, if you embrace multiculturalism, you've got to embrace Islamic Sharia law.
Which
now,
do.
You don't,
yes.
yes, and you what you don't hear is multiculturalism is never ever heard outside the West.
Right.
And so what happens is we are having Muslim Islam on an onward march into the Western world. And people tell me, do you hate Muslims? No,
no.
I don't hate Muslims. I love
no.
Muslims.
Right.
Now, do I hate Germans? Just
no.
because Nazism? No, I love the German people, but I do not agree of Nazi ideology.
And
do
satanic,
I hate the Russians?
We cannot
do I hate the Russians?
No, you don't,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
Do I hate the Russians? Do I hate
yeah.
the Chinese? No, I don't.
No.
I love them, but I don't approve communist philosophies.
Right.
I love the sinner, but not the sin.
Right.
And this is what I've been saying. Islam is not good news for anyone because it's an antichrist spirit which operates across
exactly.
the world.
Exactly.
If any religion calls on another religious person to be killed, that
yes.
means there's something wrong.
It comes from Satan. Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at Buddha from Buddhism. He never told anyone to kill anyone. He actually taught peace.
Yes.
However, he never told his followers to follow him because he didn't know where he was going. He said, follow my teaching.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't
now,
know
Prophet
that.
Prophet Muhammad was asked
yes.
a question by his followers, O Holy Prophet of Allah,
yes.
can you tell us whether we are going to heaven? And he responded, how can I tell you whether you're going to heaven when I don't know whether I'm going to heaven?
Wow.
Now, if the
yes.
Prophet Muhammad did not know where he was going, but Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall
yes.
come to the Father unless through me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will die. I will die for your sins. I'll conquer death, hell, and the grave. Rise on the third day. I'll go to heaven,
yes.
prepare a place for you. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to work with you.
Yes.
And I'm coming back to take you, and then I'm going to rule and reign with you from Jerusalem, Israel, for 1,000 years.
Amen.
So we have a clear mandate. So when I
yes.
stand up and say I'm against interfaith,
yes.
people think that I'm an intolerant.
No,
I'm not intolerant. I just
no.
speak the truth with love.
You know,
so multiculturalism.
I'm sorry, that's how Satan deceives people. He takes words out of context and gives them new meanings. You know,
true.
So go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, please.
So multiculturalism is detrimental to Western democracies because Western democracies were built on Judeo-Christian values based on the
yes.
Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And when you bring multiculturalism, you're saying, okay, now erode the foundations, bring all the other cultures in. Now, I have a policy, and that is, if I
yes.
come into your house, I don't tell you how to live. If you come into my house, you don't tell me how to live.
Amen.
I went to Australia, and I chose to immigrate into Australia. Now, as an immigrant, it's my duty to assimilate into the Australian way of life,
exactly.
not try to get the Aussie to assimilate into where I have come from.
Right.
Now, surely, I left my country because I believe Australia is a better place for me to live in.
Right.
Now, if people who immigrate think they value Sharia law more than common law, which has made the democratic country so great they have come
terrible.
Into,
terrible.
Then they need to give me a call or give you a call, and we will ride them to the airport so that they can take a plane back to Afghanistan or Iran.
And even pay for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, because if you want Sharia law, if it's so good, then go back there. Why are you
yeah.
here?
You know,
and so
I'm
we are taking a clear stand on this issue, and we are saying as a party, Rise Up Australia, a party to keep Australia Australian, we are
yes.
saying this is not about a white Australia policy because I myself, I'm a black fellow, I'm from Sri Lanka
yes.
originally. It's not about a white Australia policy, it's about a
exactly.
policy to protect a nation, unite a nation, and America needs to stand by the same. And we are saying you come to Australia, learn the language, speak English.
Yes. Exactly. I was going to say, Pastor Danny, we only have a few more minutes, and I wanted to say two things. One is what you have said, that multiculturalism is like multi-cult. We're allowing cults in. So you're for multi-ethnicism. You know, people.
That's correct. Multi-ethnic community means my country of birth cannot be changed. I'm originally from Sri Lanka, my country of birth, but I'm an Australian now.
Right. And because we have only about 3 minutes left, what is on your heart that you want to make a big deal about for anybody who hears you? What do you want to say to the people?
Well, what I want to say is, number one, we need to be a people who pray.
Yes.
Number two, we need to be a people who act. Number three, the nation has lost trust in the church. We've got to win the trust back.
Yes.
And I want to warn the people of America very clearly. This upcoming election is going to be an election where they're going to determine which way you're going to go.
Crucial.
If you have the current government re-elected, you can kiss goodbye to your freedoms and get ready for persecution.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you have a situation where you have to choose in between two people who both are, as far as I'm concerned, one is a Mohammedan, the other one possibly is a Muslim.
I know.
Now, you've got to really choose, pray, and ask God's wisdom. But the only good news is that Mitt Romney did very clearly state that he would support Israel and he'll stand by Israel. And for me, that is a big thing, because those who bless my people will be blessed. Those who curse my people will be cursed.
Right.
So I'm calling on America to really seek the Lord and make the right decision. Don't make a decision based on color. Make a decision based on righteousness.
Yes.
And that's important, because the current president, unfortunately, has not demonstrated godly values at all.
Okay.
And I think you all need to pray, because America is a nation which has been the big brother of the Christian faith, which has been the leader in the world.
Right.
Unfortunately, in the last 4 years, you all have shunned your leadership role and given it to the UN. Now, I normally say the UN stands for United Nonsense, because because the UN is filled
with
non-Christian heathen
and
a lot of Muslims. And so that's the decisions the UN makes. The UN, the decisions they make, is built on one world government's agenda. And the one world government's agenda is to present the platform for Antichrist to come into action. And we got to fight hard. We got to fight strong. We got to stand strong, even if it means we had to lose our lives standing up for Jesus with love. We got to do that so that until Jesus comes, our children and grandchildren will have a better America, a better Australia to live in. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, I was going to say, I thought we had only 3 minutes, but we started a little late, so I think we have a couple more minutes on this. Doug from the station tells us otherwise. What I was going to say is, too, what do you recommend people? Let me say this first. You said it on another show, which I thought was so cute. You said anybody who has a lot of money in some hidden bank accounts, let it come forth for the gospel, right? Because you need money for your.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that, because one of the things is I've really taken a step by faith to step out into the arena to take the battle into the enemy's courts. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The word of God says that.
Yes.
Gates don't come and fight you. You got to take the fight to the gates. I've stepped out by faith.
Yes.
I was sued by the Muslims. I was in a court case for 5 years. We won the court case 5 years later. We thank God for that.
Yes.
What one thing is that I am willing to go, but I need someone to also fund us and support us financially.
Yes.
So I'm appealing to the people who are listening. Your finances will be such a blessing for us to carry forward our fight
and
to protect the nations and preserve the and you will be blessed. If you can't go, you can give. You need the kings and the priests to do the job.
Yes.
And so our party website is riseupaustraliaparty.com.
Great.
Riseupaustraliaparty.com. Our website for Catch the Fire Ministries is catchthefire.com.au. Catchthefire.com.au. You can go online and donate, or you can also email us and we can tell you what to do. But your prayers and your support will be a great blessing for us.
But also they can buy your book, again, Worship Under the Sword. And is that because you were in Saudi Arabia? Is that where the title came from?
That's correct, because I watched three people getting beheaded.
Wow. Wow. You said you were almost killed in Sri Lanka as well? They tried to kill
you there? I think I'll leave that story for people to buy the book and read it themselves.
Okay.
How the Lord saved me from four people
who
attacked me with swords.
Pastor Danny, that's Jewish.
Actually, someone told me, they said, my surname is Nalaya,
Exactly.
And they said, because there are words, such names such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah.
Not only that, but Aliyah, which means, you know, when people go back to Israel, it means they're going up, you know, they're making an up step. So Aliyah,
yes.
You're an Aliyah. You know something? I was anointed as a prophet to my people Israel. If somebody has 1/1000th of their blood Jewish, I know it. So the fact that it just came out, I know. I was trying to make a joke. I'm not very good at making jokes, but you are Jewish. Ask your mother.
Well, that's what many people have told me. They have said, well, the Lord has given you a heart for the nation of Israel.
Yes.
Sorry.
You okay?
And that we trust in the Lord for great things to come to pass in our time and looking forward for a great victory for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. I don't know how to thank you enough, Pastor Danny. I mean, you were such a blessing to me. People need to hear that Jesus is alive and well today. All we need to do is acknowledge him. We have to ask him into our hearts and let him be Lord of our lives. And then we know that everything that comes our way, he has permitted. I just...
Yes, and I also must say this. I need to really thank the Lord for my wife and my children, whom he has blessed me with, who have gone through all the challenges. And the third child was born 15 years after, and that's a real miracle baby.
And that was
and
when you won your lawsuit,
the Lord.
Right?
That's correct. She was born on the day that we won the court case.
I love it.
So we just thank the Lord for what he's done. We also thank the Lord for my wonderful prayer team that I have in Australia who supports and stands with us back to back.
Yes. And God bless you. You know, in Jewish we say when you sneeze, when we say something... 30 seconds. Okay, Pastor Danny, I guess we have to go. God bless you.
Okay, thank you, and God bless you all.
Thank you, and blessings, and I'll continue to pray for you, your ministry, and your party. In Jesus' name, have a blessed, blessed day, and thank you so much again. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Bye.
Hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom 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 aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom 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 aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.